What are the principles that you've established in your life that have guided your decisions and your goals? Well, today Mary Lohman is talking with Cheryl Batchelder again, former CEO of Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen, about the principles that Cheryl put in place that led to a turnaround in that restaurant chain. I'm Pam Klein, your host. We are so eager to hear from Cheryl again. I'll turn it over to both of you.
Well, Cheryl, thank you again for being with us for this second conversation. And last week we talked about your success at turning Popeye's around through your Dare to Serve leadership principles. So I listened to one of your presentations, and you talked about how at first, the attitude your leadership team had toward your franchise owners, your number one priority, right? These are people who make problems for us. These are people who are never satisfied. These are people who always complain. And no doubt, those things were probably true, were they not?
Absolutely.
How did you turn them around?
You know, I think we can all think about this question. Who is driving you nuts at work? Right. Mm-hmm. When I got to Popeye's, our attitude towards our franchise owners was hostile, angry, frustrated, and frankly, their attitude towards us, pretty much the same, dysfunctional. So our team sat in a conference room and we made a list of all the various people we were supposed to serve, right? Because there's shareholders and there's employees and there's customers and there's franchise and there's lots of people. And at one point, our CFO said, "Don't we have to serve all those people?" And I said, "Well, I want to push for you to think about who is the most important on the list, who has the most in the game." And it didn't take long for the team to come to the point of view that a franchise owner who buys the land, builds the restaurant, hires the people, and serves the community might be the most important person. And then I challenged them to say, "And how do we think about them?" Because I don't think we realize how often we come to work with a mindset that's hostile towards the most important people we need to do business with. And so my mother, I grew up with her waking me up every day saying, "Your attitude is your altitude." Mm. So I just took that same principle towards our franchisees that I'd better have the right attitude going into the conversation, and an attitude of that gave them dignity, respect. I would listen to them. Because those things do not come naturally. I am not a saint either. Nobody's a saint. We come into all these conversations with our own attitudinal perspective. And so I think we got aligned quickly that even though we didn't feel like liking these people, we had to demonstrate love towards them. Loving the people you lead is a central principle for me because it's an action verb. It's not huggy or soft. It is an action verb. Loving is listening. Loving is interest in people. Loving is patience with people. Loving is forgiveness towards people who have not done right by you. Those are the things our faith calls us to bring to work, and they are active and alive in creating a good work environment. If we just think about it, the goal is to get to a place where we can do our best work together. Loving one another is a central piece of that.
Oh, I could not agree more. And, you know, Jesus said it, two things you do, love God, love people. Mm-hmm. And Paul, when he wrote 1 Corinthians 13, said, "You can do all these wonderful things, but if you don't have love, it counts for nothing."
You are a clanging cymbal. I always love that visual.
I know. I just hear the clanging cymbals. And then he gave us a list of what this kind of love is. Patient, kind, you know, remembers the good reports, not the bad reports. Wants people to succeed, not to put them down. And if we lived by those, whether it's on our jobs as a CEO or beginning at the bottom level, Makes such a difference.
Imagine a performance review given by somebody who cares and loves you. Imagine that. In the United States, a performance review is 50 minutes of things that are wrong with you, followed by 10 minutes of, "You did a couple things right. Thank you very much." It is a hostile, uncaring.
Everybody hates them.
Hopeless. And yes, and the ratings of performance reviews are very low. People hate them. So what about flipping that on its end? There's some great books about strengths, emphasizing people's strengths, because bringing out people's best is saying, "You have been gifted with talent that we need. Let's get you in the right place to give it to us." The most loving thing you can do is partner people's strengths and gifts up with a great job that the company needs accomplished. And the worst thing you can do is beat them up about their weaknesses. A person's weaknesses aren't going to change 15% in their entire lifetime. There's a statistic statistic about that.
15%. That's the best we can do.
It's not going to move dramatically. So let's really love these gifts, these positive things that people have, and make sure we line them up with the work that needs those skills.
Oh, that's such an important principle. And it applies to all areas of our life. I'm wondering how, when you were building your team and all those years at Popeyes, you were bound to run into a few that didn't fit in with your dare to serve. How could you motivate them to see your plan, or how did you deal with that?
Well, the first thing I needed to remind myself is how difficult it would be to teach servant leadership to people who had grown up in companies who don't practice it. You really have to be sensitive to the fact that we are training up all our leaders in very demanding individual achievement, me environments. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be in them. And it is in all of us. And so there's an unwinding of what they've been taught, and that takes time. So I was patient with people, but firm and clear about the expectation of the behaviors. And we need you to move towards these behaviors. And we'll help you understand why, and we'll help you become more effective. But if you don't exhibit any interest in moving towards these behaviors, that's a heart-to-heart talk. Because even if you have superstar talents and skills that we need, we cannot accommodate the cultural conflict of someone working against our principles.
And confrontation, speaking truth in love, is part
of
what?
It's part of it.
It's part of it.
Absolutely part of it. It's part of setting clear expectations. A lot of people think servant leadership is just love, 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 hug, 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 fire, 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 which I mean, you know, marshmallows together over the fire. No, no, no. It is truth talk. It is candor. It is clarity of expectations of what this job requires, what we ask of you to bring, what our expectations are. Gallup has found that most leaders do not explain what they need from their people, do not set clear expectations, and we cannot expect people to do their best work without that clarity.
Wow. So it's so interesting. Because you've had such success in your business world, I want to just go to a personal note now, so everybody knows you're a real woman.
Very real.
And you've been married to the same man for 38 years,
yes.
And you've raised three daughters, and now you have four, or did you just have another grandson?
We have four grandsons.
Four grandsons.
Now.
You live in Atlanta, my hometown, so I love that. You're very active in your church. But life hasn't sailed along all easy and good and successful for you. I know that you are a survivor of breast cancer. Share with me some of the hard times and how you've kept your job and your career and your family and everything going in the midst of really hard times.
Well, I have come to understand that success is not a very great teacher, Mary, but a good failure, the whack aside the head kind of failure, is a really good teacher. I mean, you get out your journal then and you got some stuff to write down, right?
Yeah,
you learn from struggle, trial, failure, all those things that we're not so excited about, but they are the learning experiences. So I had a time in my life where I had a job crisis and a health crisis at the same time. Mm. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in the fall of 2001, completely unexpectedly, no family history, never even occurred to me, right? And my first type A response was, you know, this isn't in my plan, God, you know, get this out of here. I got stuff to do, you know.
I hear you.
Pretty rebellious response. And I was 45 years old with young children that I was concerned about. I wanted to be at their weddings, you know, all those thoughts that, oh, please, God, don't take me now. And at the same time, the business was struggling, and I was the business leader. And so God used it, like he does all trials, to just bring me flat on my face. You can't be surrendered. I think our humanness is such an obstacle. You know, you have to have trials to get flat on your face. And God uses them quite constructively. I now trust him more with trials because he uses them quite constructively to draw us to him and make us more effective servants for him. So cancer, to be honest, the physical part, there is treatment for cancer, right? We did all the by-the-book treatment, and God willing, I've lived 20 years since. But I learned a lot about trusting God's plan, turning my life over to God. I lost my job after I had my finished my breast cancer treatments because I had not turned around the company simultaneously while battling breast cancer. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
I got summarily fired. I was on the cover of the business section. I mean, these are painful things. I mean, no one likes to get fired, but to tell the whole city about it was embarrassing. My children had to answer questions about it. So those two things piled on top of each other. It caused a period of searching and learning that, to be honest, really made me far more intentional in my next stage of life and work.
That's such a good message, Cheryl, and I'm glad you shared that, God doesn't waste anything. He doesn't waste our suffering, and many times he allows it because he knows what's going to come out of that is gold refined in the fire. But when you're in the middle of it,
it just doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't feel that way. So it's learning to walk by faith and not by sight. And trusting God.
I've come to be such a believer in his redeeming grace. And I now look back on that time 20 years ago that was terrible and just say, thank you. Thank you. You have brought my life to such a place today that I could have never understood and experienced, whether it be my relationship with my family, my work opportunities, all those things. I just feel redeeming grace.
I hope everyone is listening, is hearing this message, because this is such an important message, and I'm sure many of you have experienced it too, that it's in the darkest, hardest times of your life that if you will let him, God will shape you and mold you and make you into the person he's created you to be. But if you rebel against it, it just makes things worse.
Yes. Trouble will follow.
Trouble will follow. Well, I want to get back to one of the principles that you talked about in your book, Dare to Serve, that contributed to your success at Popeyes. And it contributes to success in any relationship. And it is, we listen carefully and learn continuously. So this was kind of your guiding principle there as you started to teach Dare to Serve principles. Am I right?
Absolutely. I think listening is the most undertaught and undercoached trait of leadership. And by the way, I'm not talking about CEO leadership. I'm talking about every leader in every home, family, community, and workplace. John Maxwell says the definition of leadership is it is influence. Every single one of us is an influencer where God puts us. And if you want to influence another human being, you must listen first. You must hear. At Popeyes, it was about going out to 7-8 markets and listening to customers, owners, restaurant managers, what was on their heart, what was their experience, and what could we do to make it better. I always say the plan, the business plan is available to you. You just have to go ask people to reveal it to you. Listening is the way you find the answers to your problems in business and relationships and in life. And that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth.
Exactly right. And you know, not only listening to all the people in our lives, but listening to the Lord.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure your devotional life with the Lord has had to be strong all these years.
Well, yeah, if the morning doesn't start with him, I'm not a very good listener to others. It's just that simple. You know, your heart being in the right place going into the day is starting with him and being reliant and dependent on him.
And I find that even though, you know, I'm in ministry and I read my Bible and all that, one day without focusing on God can just lead to, I mean, it's so easy to fall into this, I can do everything trap.
It is. Self-reliance is sin.
It is.
It's a very ready trap for all of us.
I wish we had more time. And I'm just so appreciative of what you've shared with us today. It's going to bless a lot of people. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you, Mary, for this opportunity.
For sure, Cheryl's story has not only inspired us, but challenged us to be more intentional about having a servant attitude in all we do, and extending God's love to others by that servant attitude. Remember that Cheryl's book, Dare to Serve, is yours for a contribution of any amount to our ministry, and you can request your copy by going to our website where you'll find all the information.
And Pam, you'll also find information on our website about our Tuesday evening Facebook Live Bible studies at 7 Central Time. It's easy to join, and that information is right there on the website.
I'm Pam Klein, thanking you for joining us today for the Christian Working Woman with Mary Lohman.